The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
One could spend an entire lifetime in deep study and never fully digest or comprehend all that's shared with us in the book of Daniel. It's so richly filled with information, revelations, and mysteries. Now, I know Daniel can be difficult to understand and interpret, but that doesn't mean we should be overlooking it or that we should remain at the elementary school level of understanding only the Sunday school story of Daniel in the lion's den, because this book is infinitely more deep and rich. In Daniel 10, we read about Daniel being visited by a heavenly being. This angel told him that his prayers were heard immediately, but the angel was delayed for 21 days as he wrestled with the demonic prince of Persia, who tried to stop him from getting to Daniel. For those who don't know, Persia is modern-day Iran, and I believe the prince of Persia is still very much active there. And after the angel gave Daniel his message, he stated that he was returning to fight the prince of Persia once more. So the message he brought, a prophecy of what is to come on the earth, was extremely important, and we should pay attention. After telling Daniel about the future, we get to Daniel 12, where we have this. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. After giving Daniel this prophecy, the angel said, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end, when many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase." In Daniel 12:8-10, we read Daniel's response to the angel. "Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, 'My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?' And he said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand.'" But even Daniel did not understand, but was told that at the time of the end, the righteous and wise will understand the words that were sealed up, and that time of the end will come when knowledge will be increased and many will run to and fro. I think we can all admit we'd like to know exactly when the time of the end will be. Will it be any day now? Will it be in our lifetimes? That's not for us to know. No one knows the day or the hour except the Father in heaven. Our job is to faithfully carry out our duties in His name while we're here, doing the work He's called and equipped us to do. But as we study God's Word, we can read the signs of the times we're living in, and specifically, in addition to great trouble and tribulation, the likes of which no one has seen before or will ever see, we know that knowledge will be increased at the time of the end. And that's what I'd like to focus on here. Do you realize that the wheel was invented in 3000 BC? Now, if the earth is approximately 6,000 years old, that means it took man 1,000 years to invent the wheel. The printing press was invented in 1450 AD. That's a time span of 4,450 years. But it was only 379 years later, in 1829, that the first electric motor was invented. By the 1830s, Samuel Morse invented the telegraph, and long-distance communication was now possible using Morse code. But by 1876, this was already becoming outdated technology when the first telephone was invented. 27 years later, in 1903, the Wright brothers made the first powered flight in the world's first airplane, although man had already taken flight in gliders by 1890. Flight became rapidly advanced, with airplanes being used heavily in World War I and II. And of course, then there was the birth of air travel, becoming common for regular citizens. And then by 1950, jet engines became commonplace. And of course, there was the rapid advancement of boats and ships, from Noah's Ark to crude canoes and boats, fishing boats, sailboats powered by wind, then ships built for military use, also first powered by wind, which rapidly advanced to coal-powered engines. Long-distance travel now became possible for the average person on luxury liners. Today we have nuclear submarines and floating five-star hotels in the form of enormous cruise ships with every amenity you can imagine. The first crewed automobile, a self-propelled vehicle, came about in 1770 with a steam-powered carriage. In 1880, Carl Benz, a German engineer, built the first lightweight three-wheeled motor car powered by gasoline. And by the early 1900s, cars as we know them today started to become commonplace. Within just 20 years, and with Henry Ford making cars affordable for the average person, the horse and buggy were quickly becoming replaced. I could also mention the development of railroads, but suffice to say, people are now easily able to go to and fro. We have supersonic air travel, luxury cruise ships, and automobiles are now simply taken for granted. And the average new car today has more technology built into it than most can comprehend, including GPS for navigation and radar to avoid collisions. The first microprocessor was invented in 1971, paving the way for electronic devices and personal computers. I remember when the first handheld calculator was invented. It cost a fortune. Now you can get them at the dollar store. Within 20 years, the World Wide Web had been invented, leading to the development of social media, e-commerce, and all that the internet entails. I can also remember when I was a young child, we had a party line for our telephone. You might pick up the phone to make a call and find one of your neighbors having a conversation with someone else, and you would need to wait your turn. But cell phones became commonplace in the 1990s, and then by 2007, the amazingly stunning features of the first iPhone were shown to the world. With this device, you could not only make calls, but send text messages with a more normal keypad. You could store your music collection on it, access the internet, and it even became your camera. Little did we realize that those cell phones would quickly become our slave trackers, that people would take with them everywhere they went, and not only carry them everywhere voluntarily, but they'd panic if somehow they forgot them. The first AM radio broadcasts were government messages sent out in the early 1900s. The invention of vacuum tubes brought radio into ordinary people's homes in the 1920s. Then, frequency modulated radio, or FM for short, was invented in 1933. Meanwhile, the first practical use of television happened in 1927. 3 years later, we had the first TV commercial broadcast, and the BBC began regular TV transmissions. There were only 200 television sets in use in the world in 1936, but by the 1940s, cable TV was introduced to rural areas, and by the 50s, most homes in America had given up radio for TV. When I was young, we had three channels to choose from, four if you counted PBS, which aired on UHF and was often hard to tune in. Today, most homes are equipped with smart TVs, and over-the-air broadcasting is still in use, but only by about 14% of the population. Most today either use cable or satellite TV services, with hundreds of channels available, or some form of internet streaming service with literally thousands of options for programming. And speaking of the increase in knowledge, we're no longer limited to getting information from newspapers, radio, and television broadcasts. Today we can access information on literally any topic through the internet or our handheld phones instantly, with millions of websites, mainstream and alternative news media, and countless platforms with a variety of content from news and information to an infinite number of specialized topics. We can also send messages around the world instantly through texting and email. We can even video chat with people on the other side of the world in real time instantly. I've read that in 1900, human knowledge doubled every 100 years. By the end of 1945, the rate had come down to every 25 years, and by 1982, our knowledge doubled every 13 months. I've also read that within the coming year, and through the use of artificial intelligence, which is rapidly expanding, human knowledge will double every 12 hours. That makes your head spin. I can't comprehend the rapid advancement of knowledge in the world. But knowledge is not really knowledge when people are using AI. In my research, I've discovered that many college students today are using AI to do their assignments. For example, they may need to write a 15-page research report, which would take many weeks to study, research, and write. But today, they can simply tell AI to write the report on any specialized topic. And in less than a minute, they'll have a fully completed article documented with footnotes and sources, which they've not only not researched themselves, but in many cases, they've never even read the article they turn in for a grade. College professors can no longer tell the difference between work the student has done and work the student used AI to complete. And today, the so-called elite want to include human minds in the Internet of Things. They're talking about brain implants to connect human beings with artificial intelligence. Might this be how Satan and his demons will be able to once again turn every thought of every man only evil all the time? Understand, Satan is not omnipresent and is not omnipotent. But by connecting all of mankind into a supercomputer artificial brain, there'll be no more private thoughts, no more critical thinking. In fact, no need for anyone to think at all. AI will do our thinking for us, and very likely, individuals tied into this system will not be allowed to think. It truly is mind-boggling when you think how much knowledge has increased just in the past 100 years, and how exponentially it continues to increase. Just about anything you purchase today becomes outdated technology within just a few months or even a few weeks. But friends, always remember, knowledge isn't really knowledge if we don't understand what we're dealing with. And certainly knowledge is not wisdom. There are many highly educated college graduates with master's degrees and PhDs that don't have even an ounce of common sense. But we can be assured of this because we find it in the only source of truth that still exists in this world. That's God's holy word. And we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Amen. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com and ask for message number 471.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.